Thank you, Tom, for your warm welcome. I came to Region in 1983 to study theology, and then I went to Taiwan for 9 years and then came back in 2005. So it's good to be here, and I recognize many faces, not all of you, but so it's good to be here with you. Today we're going to look at an Old Testament character, Naomi, from the book of Ruth, Naomi in crisis. I don't think that we are let me try, this seems to be not working here. That's right, yeah, great. We are not stranger to, none of us are stranger to crisis with COVID the past 2 years, and then more recently, the Ukraine war. So we know what crisis mean for people, particularly if you keep up with the news in Ukraine. Today we look at Naomi in crisis. Right. Naomi, if you remember in the book of Ruth, started in Israel, in Judah, and the first thing that the Bible tells us is that she faced famine. Her whole family went down to Moab, and then there her crisis escalated. So in some ways, you can say that there are all levels of crisis. There are more serious level and there are not as serious level of crisis. And famine itself is a crisis already, but that's not the end of her story. So she, her husband and her two sons died while they were in Moab. So the Bible tells us that she was left without her two sons and her husband. Now for us, in modern society, we don't worry too much about widows. Some widows are actually quite rich and powerful. They get perhaps a very nice pension, OAS, GIS. So we don't, at least in Canada, we don't worry too much about widows. But this is not Canada. Naomi is not in Canada. Naomi is a widow in ancient world. In fact, if you look at the Marvel Universe, you might want to be a widow, the Black Widow. Extremely powerful and terrorized people. But Naomi is nothing like that. So remove that out of your mind. There are four, in the ancient world, there are four possible outcomes for a widow. And none of that is good. They can return to their parents' home, they can get a new husband, or they can get a son through the brother-in-law, if they don't have a son. And then finally, they rely on charity. So in the ancient world, widow is no place for widows, basically, in the ancient world. So if we look at Old Testament and then New Testament, it tells us that there are, the Mosaic law tells us that we need to care for orphans and widows. Their life depends on charity. So in the early church, there's a lot of talk, if you look at Acts 6, the early church have a lot of widows that need to be taken care of. And in James 1, true religion is to look after orphans and widows. So we can see in the Bible that the widows in the ancient world are precarious in their survival. Now, if you actually keep up with the news on the in Afghanistan, for example, females are not allowed to go out alone. They need to have a male relative to go out with them. So Afghanistan is more like the ancient world. So you can see that, you know, being a widow in the ancient world, you don't have children to look after you. Your life is very precarious. So that's the crisis that Naomi is in. So if we look at Ruth 1:11-14, we find that Naomi keep trying to get her two daughters-in-law to leave her because she know what she's going to face, and you know, she doesn't want to have two younger widows with her because they're going to face similar kind of situation as she does. And if in this text, if you look at, even if I thought there was still hope for me, even if I have a husband today and then gave birth to son, would you wait until they grew up? You can hear from her voice how sad she is, how desperate, how without hope, hopeless she is. When I was young, I come across a movie called No Way Out. It's a spy movie, a Russian spy in America. Box in, no way out. This is exactly how Naomi felt, without her husband and without her two sons. And if you look at the next picture, and if you remember, not too long ago, the two Michaels, the two Canadian Michaels, was locked up in China. That's exactly how Naomi would have felt. No way out. There's no way out of the situation. Destitute, desperate, without hope. And quite often, if we look at the next photo, we ourselves sometimes are in that kind of situation. Feel that kind of desperation when we face crisis. If our parents, if our relatives are in ICU facing death, if our relative or people that we love face war in Ukraine, that's the kind of tension that we find in the story of Naomi. Ephesians 2:11-14. Talking about Gentiles who are not part of Israel, foreigner to the covenant of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. That's that, without hope in the world, that's the situation that Naomi is in. She doesn't have a son to look after in her old age. So what is she going to do? There's another person in the Old Testament. If we look at the Job text, facing similar situation. Feeling that God is attacking them. That's the position of Ruth. Ruth is going through a crisis of faith. I don't know if you have ever experienced crisis of faith. In the crisis of faith, there's a table that I have here. Naomi returning to Bethlehem, and the townspeople recognize her and say, "Is this Naomi?" And she say, "No, don't call me Naomi. Naomi means sweet. Call me Mara, bitter. Because the Almighty had made my life very bitter. I went away full, the Lord had brought me back empty. The Lord has afflicted me. The Almighty has brought misfortune upon me." If you look at the book of Ruth, you don't find any hint in chapter 1 that God is actually attacking her. But because she's facing this crisis, so she thought that it must be God. I'm so boxed in, I'm trapped, I'm hopeless. Why God is not helping me? So God must be attacking me, afflicting me. So often, when we face crisis in life, we have all kinds of thoughts, right? We think, could be this, could be that. And sometimes we begin to feel or think that God is no longer with us, God is not going to help us. So Satan is going to cast doubts into our mind, and we wonder, if God allows us to be in this situation, has he left us, deserted us? So we think of all sorts of things. The good thing is that this is a comedy, not a tragedy. So we look at how Naomi come out of crisis and did not stay there. So the text that the chairperson, that Tom read for us, that the Lord enabled her to conceive and she gave birth to a son. The woman said to Naomi, "Praise be the Lord, with this day, who this day has not left you without a guardian redeemer. For your daughter-in-law, who loves you and who is better than to you than seven sons, has given him birth." So if we look at this text, we immediately recognize that God is not attacking her. God is not afflicting her. The fact that she do not have a son, the fact that her two sons died, has nothing to do with God attacking her. In the Old Testament, sometimes God does attack the people of God, Israel. When they worship idols, God punishes them and disciplines them. But this is not the case. There's nothing in the text of Ruth that gives us any support to think that God has abandoned her. On the other hand, instead, at the end of the book, we find that God is helping her. God is blessing her, blessing Ruth to conceive and have a son. And so Naomi has someone to look after. So we can tell from the chapter one and the beginning and the end of the story that everything that came through her crisis of faith was dreamt up by her herself. So Naomi imagined that God afflicted her. In reality, God blessed Ruth and blessed Naomi in chapter 4. So often we have all this kind of thoughts about why we are facing this crisis or why we are facing that crisis. And Satan has often planted these doubts. You remember in Genesis 3 how the serpent deceived Eve. So Satan is very characteristically, typically, would plant evil thoughts, lies in our minds. And Naomi fell for it. So we can tell from this story that during her crisis of faith, she doubted that God is with her, that God wants to bless her, that God is going to see her through. So if we look at the last point, Naomi and us, how does the story of Naomi help us, Christian, today? What does it teach us about our Christian walk? What we need to do in our crisis of faith? So if we want to look at Ruth 4, and then there's a table after that comes comparing the beginning and the end, chapter 1 and chapter 4, I want you to look at, to notice that at the beginning, there's this emphasis on sons. Chapter 1, 11 to 13. Am I going to have any more sons? Even if I had a husband tonight, and then gave birth to sons. So for Naomi, there's no possibility of having sons. Her two sons died. But in chapter 4, there's again a reference. The Lord enabled Ruth to conceive, and she gave birth to a son. Then women living there said, Naomi has a son. What was impossible in chapter 1 became possible, become reality. And then let us look at another table. In chapter 1, 1 to 5, her two sons died, and the author said Naomi was left without her two sons, again, sons, and her husband. And then at the end, chapter 4, the Lord, who this day have not left you. God has been always been with Naomi from Moab to Bethlehem, all the way. He has not left Naomi and have not attacked or afflicted Naomi at all. Those are the lies from the devil. But I want you to particularly notice at chapter 4, 13 to 17, this part. For your daughter-in-law, who loves you and who is better to you than seven sons, has given him birth. Do you notice the comparison, what the author is trying to say? At the beginning, two sons died. So we have the next PowerPoint. And then end up with a daughter-in-law who is better than seven sons. If we look at chapter 1 from the point of chapter 4, God has never left Naomi. God, through Ruth, was with Naomi. Ruth is better than seven sons. She lost two sons. She gained a daughter-in-law who is better than seven sons. In many of our crises of faith, we don't see God, so we enter into crisis of faith. Naomi is like that. Naomi couldn't see God. But Ruth was by her side all the time. God sent an angel to be with Naomi all the way while she was talking about being bitter. Has she realized that Ruth is better than seven sons, she would not have need to face the crisis of faith. That is the lesson of Naomi. So often, we look at the material world like Naomi. My two sons died. I don't have any more sons. And did not recognize this daughter-in-law is better than seven sons. If we look at the spiritual world, she ought to recognize that God is with her. But she did not. She focused on the material world. And this is a problem that we face today. We so often look at the material world and focus on the material world. Let us look at Joshua 5, 13 to 14. This is a lovely passage. Now when Joshua was near Jericho, he looked up and saw a man standing in front of him. And he asked this question, "Are you for us or for our enemies?" Typically, this is our person looking at the material world. Are you for us or for our enemy? Neither, the man said. "But as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come." The third way, neither for you nor for your enemy. I'm going to lead you. This is the third way. So often we think in the material world, within the trade war, either China or America, either Republican, if you are in America, either Republican or Democrat. So when we have this, either this or that, Christians have a third way. And I don't want you to be boxed in, trapped, imprisoned by the material world. If you always focus on the material world, you can only see either this or that. But for us Christians, there's another way. So neither China nor America, we are the kingdom of God. We have a third way. We have a spiritual way. Let us look at how this is become relevant for us. We ask, often when we ask, why me, God? In our crisis of faith. And Naomi faces this no way out. The material world, people in the material always face this problem, no way out. Look at the trade war. America and China, they are stuck. They got stuck in this trade war. Look at Israel and Palestine. They got stuck in this no way out. But the Bible doesn't say that. We look at 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to man. God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. In the material world, no way out. People get stuck. America got stuck. China got stuck. Israel got stuck. Palestine got stuck. But the Bible tells us that there is a truth that for the Christian, there's always a way out. Because we don't live only in the material world. We can also live in the spiritual world. And this is exactly what happened to Naomi. She was hopeless because she had no sons. But God provided a daughter-in-law. That's the way out. Ruth is the way out. And if we look at Joseph, Genesis 39, it's the same thing. Joseph was in prison, like the two Michaels, but God uses his imprisonment so that he become prime minister in Pharaoh. Lastly, I want to very briefly talk, and we will go to the book of Ruth. We often look at the book of Ruth and look at each individual, the three characters, right? Ruth, Naomi, and Boaz. But in fact, there's another element in the book of Ruth that I think we often missed, and that's very relevant for LGC. In Ruth 2:4, we see that how Boaz greets the harvester. The Lord be with you, the Lord bless you. Obviously, this is a faith community. And then if we look at chapter 2, 10 to 13, conversation between Boaz and Ruth, and Ruth said, why have I found such favor in your eyes? May I continue to find favor in your eyes? This is a gracious community. Boaz is part of the Bethlehem community, and he is a very gracious person. And then in chapter 4, we see that the elders blessed Boaz. May the Lord make the woman who is coming into your house like Rachel and Leah. So it's a blessing community. And finally, if we look at verses 14 to 15, the woman said to Naomi, praise be to God, who this day have not left you without a guardian redeemer. So this is a praise community. So God uses Ruth and sent an angel to be with Naomi, but when they returned to Bethlehem, they came into a faith community, a gracious community that accepts foreigners, Moabites, that blesses each other, and praises God. So we need to think, is LGC a faith community, a gracious community that welcomes outsiders, people who are very different from us? Are we a blessing community that blesses each other? And are we a praise community, praising God? This is what we need to reflect. Let us pray. Father, we want to thank you for the story of Naomi, who was in crisis, in desperation, destitution, and yet all along you have been with her, and you brought her out of that no way out, and enter into a life of blessing, into a gracious community, a blessing community, and a praise community. Help us to be that kind of community so that we can be your agent of life and change and blessing in this sinful world. In Jesus' name, amen.